Welcome to the West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are affectionately also known as WUF. My name is Ashley Ulmer, and I use the pronouns she, her, and they, and it is my privilege to serve as your lay leader this morning. I love to see all of that. And just a couple of housekeeping items. If at any time you would feel more comfortable downstairs, where there is space to move around, you are welcome to watch the service on screen down there. If you're watching from home, do consider joining the virtual coffee hour using the Zoom link that's in your order of service email. This week's announcements are attached to that email as well, so you can learn what's happening at WUF in the coming weeks. If you're a visitor, we are so glad you are here, so please fill out the form in the seat in front of you so we can send you information about happenings in our congregation.
And again, welcome everyone. I'm Salima Malton, and it is such a joy to be part of today's All Poetry service. Whether you're here or watching online, we hope that you feel included and embraced by the loving and beloved community that we continue to build here at WUF, and that you will join us downstairs after the service for coffee and conversation. A few weeks ago, I came upon a comment that stuck with me about how religious community can be a good antidote to the distorted prism of today's social media and its obsession with the minutiae of everybody's everyday politics. Congregations, it said, tend to move at a slower pace and are oriented to the deeper matters in life. Instead of chasing likes and follows online, we come together to develop spiritual maturity, bear witness to the beauty and sorrow in the world, and enjoy one another's company as we sit with the realities of the world as it is. We co-imagine the world as it could be, and we attempt to co-create it together. Think about that for a minute. Let me read it again. We come together to develop spiritual maturity, bear witness to the beauty and sorrow in the world, and enjoy one another's company as we sit with the realities of the world as it is. This year, as most of you know, WUF is coming together to co-create the vision of who we are post-COVID and where we want to go. This morning, we are coming together to co-create a collective poem of gratitude and giving to celebrate today. Sometimes we just like to shake things up here at WUF on a Sunday morning. So we, the poets and poetry lovers of WUF, welcome you with open arms and open hearts to this interactive service in which you're about to hear a lot of poetry. Now, I know that there are some of you who only tolerate poetry on Sunday mornings because you understand that we can't please all the people all the time, and that there are, in fact, truly, others who find poetry inspiring and comforting. And after all, that's what being together in community is all about, isn't it? Helping more of us get more of what we want more of the time. So, in addition to using poems in every component of today's service, there will be a series of favorites read by and written by some of our own woofers. Your job is to simply relax, let it all in, tell all that stuff and that busy head of yours to go for a walk, and just bear witness, and listen. And from time to time, jot down a line or a phrase that speaks to your heart. The way that we co-create a collective, or what is formerly known as a cento, that's C-E-N-T-O, cento poem, which is one made entirely of lines from other poems, is to put those lines together in a meaningful way. We will do that at the end of our readings. So don't leave 5 minutes before the miracle happens. Now, you may have received a 4x6 card when you came in, but I don't think that happens. So if you don't have something to write with and something to write on, we will provide you with that during the service. So let's begin by settling in, relaxing a bit, and start with these words from Joyce Sutphin. This poem is called Now That Anything Could Happen. You know now that anything could happen. Things that never happened before, things that only happened in movies and nightmares are happening now, as if nothing could stop them. You know now that you are not safe. You know you live in fragile skin and bones, that even steel and concrete can melt away, and that the earth itself can come unhinged, shaken from its orbit around the sun. You know now that anything can happen. And now that you know that anything can happen, it's hard to know what will. And what will you do now that you know? What words will you say now that you could say anything? What hands will you hold? Whose heart will beat inside you?
Good morning. I'm Christine Loeffler, and I'm happy to be part of today's service. As Hazel lights our chalice, let us speak together in call and response, a prayer for the world by the late Rabbi Harold Kushner. I will begin. Your parts are in red. Actually, no, they're not in red. We'll alternate paragraphs, apparently. Hazel, come on up. Let the rain come and wash away the ancient grudges, the bitter hatreds held and nurtured over generations.
Let the rain wash away the memory of the hurt they left, and let the sun come out and fill the sky with rainbows.
Let the warmth of the sun heal us wherever we are broken. Let it turn away the fog so that we can see each other clearly. Let the warmth and brightness of the sun melt our selfishness so that we can share the joys and feel the sorrows of our neighbors.
And let the light of the sun be so strong that we will see all evil as our neighbors.
Let the earth, nourished by rain, bring forth flowers to surround us with beauty.
Our time for all ages. If any other children would like to come up to the front row, you're welcome to join us up here now. And our readers of the next poem can come on up and join us now too. for our children of all ages, I will share a poem with you written by our own Norma Edith Heiser from November 23rd, 2020. This poem is a response to Aunt Jeannie's lyrics asking the questions, what will become of the children? Who will nurture the children? And who will give the children hope? The children answer.
We are the children you wish to nourish. You wish to give us what you had, what you gave, what you were, what you missed, and what you want to erase.
Keep your heart open to us. Rest quietly. Wait, listen to your breath. Your heart, your music and poetry. We will arrive, two, three, or more, when your presence is assured.
We will ask you to listen for the answers you request, giving you information you've not heard. You will hear the chorus of our unexpected wisdom in your presence.
We will tell you what brought us to birth at this time. We will teach you to release olden times, to trust us as you long trust yourselves as children.
The world you want may not be the world you know. Be hopeful, stay open, nurture the child you were. Enable the best of what you see and hear from us.
Take delight in exploration, discovery, uniqueness, diversity. Accept generational change, observe humanity evolving, learn the children's language, allow time and life its way.
We do respect you. Sincerely, the children.
Thank you. Thank you. Now Virginia will lead us in a special song celebration for our children. Please rise as we sing This Little Light of Mine for three verses. And on the third verse, please turn to form the arch over the aisle as we sing our children out to their classes.
Sharon Persick's daughter, and I'm reading for her. Oh, really? Usually I'm too loud. Okay, is that better? Okay, good. Really? Oh, gosh. Maybe it's because, okay, is that better? Oh, gosh, okay, now I have to hold this up. Okay. All right, so this is The Peace of Wild Things by Wendell Berry. When despair for the world grows in me and I wake in the night at the least sound and fear of what my life and what my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free.
As we turn our intention now to gratitude and giving, now is the time in our service when we pause to reflect on the gifts that we have received from this abundant earth, its inhabitants, past and present, and the generous spirit of family and community that we share. To consider what it is that we have given and what it is that we are grateful for. Please consider the gifts you have to offer our WOOF community, whether it be financial support or the special gift of your time or talent. Know that we are grateful for your offering. Our ushers will now come. And as we gratefully receive this morning's offering, I will share a poem with you entitled "When Giving is All We Have" by Alberto Rios. One river gives its journey to the next. We give because someone gave to us. We give because nobody gave to us. We give because giving has changed us. We give because giving could have changed us. We have been better for it. We have been wounded by it. Giving has many faces. It is loud and quiet, big though small, diamond in wood nails. Its story is old, the plot worn and the pages too. But we read this book anyway, over and again. Giving is first and every time, hand to hand, mine to yours, yours to mine. You gave me blue and I gave you yellow. Together we are simple green. You gave me what you did not have and I gave you what I had to give. Together we made something greater from the difference. Many thanks. Now let's join me now, please, in our affirmation of gratitude and giving. Let us be grateful when we are able to give, for many do not have that privilege. Let us be grateful for all of those who share their gifts with us, for we are enriched by their giving. And let us be grateful even for our needs, so that we may learn from the generosity of others.
Earlier, I said that we come to bear witness to the beauty and sorrow in the world and to enjoy one another as we sit with the realities of the world as it is. Here at WOOF, we do this in part by taking a few minutes to come forward if you feel moved to do so and thoughtfully place a stone into the water that alongside the flame of our chalice signifies who we are and symbolizes the community that we are, a community that is large enough and deep enough to hold whatever it is that is happening for you, whether it be a heartache or a celebration. If you wish, you are welcome to share your joy or sorrow aloud. I will bring the microphone down, and when all have returned to their seats, we will sing together. I offer these words from the poet Ellen Bass, entitled, "The Thing Is." The thing is to love life, to love it even when you have no stomach for it, and everything you've held dear crumbles like burnt pages and paper in your hands, your throat filled with the silt of it. When a grief sits with you, its tropical heat thickening the air, heavy as water, more fit for gulls, for gills than lungs. When grief weights you like your own flesh, only more of it, an obesity of grief, you think, how can a body withstand this? Then you hold life like a face between your palms, a plain face. Plain face, no charming smile, no violet eyes. And you say, yes, I will take you. I will love you again.
It is Gilby's birthday today.
This is a stone of concern for two families we have waiting in Ukraine and Warsaw. I hope the snafus end soon.
Today is the 106th birthday for Rachel Kester, who passed away 2 years ago, a longtime member of this place, a lovely lady.
Today is the day my father was born in 1918. He died at age 59 a long time ago.
Granddaughter's 18th birthday. Oops, 17th.
Stone for all the suffering that continues in the world, and a hope that it will ease up soon.
Now, as we prepare to enter a few moments of quiet reflection, prayer, or meditation, whatever your tradition is, here's a poem from Mark Nepo titled The Clearing. I had climbed beyond what I knew in search of something lasting, and far away from the crowd, I found this clearing from which I glimpsed life outside my own story. And life was never more revealing, though I couldn't stay there any more than a bird could nest in the sun. So I came back into the world, though I'm never far from the clearing. I carry it within like a candle lit from the great unending fire. And when exhausted of my thoughts, I find the clearing in your quiet breathing as you sleep. In the song that parts everyone's trouble. In the moment the old painter lifts his brush from the canvas. Even in these words I leave on the page like ripples in the water.
Poem now from Ralph Waldo Emerson, entitled, Write It on Your Heart. Write it on your heart that every day is the best day in the year. He is rich who owns the day, and no one owns the day who allows it to be invaded with fret and anxiety. Finish every day and be done with it. You have done what you could. Some blunders and absurdities no doubt crept in. Forget them as soon as you can. Tomorrow is a new day. Begin it well and serenely, with too high a spirit to be cumbered with your old nonsense. This new day is too dear, with its hopes and invitations, to waste a moment on the yesterdays. So we're going to do a little sing-along with one of my favorite performers, Chris.
Open mine eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Open mine eyes, illumine me.
Excuse me, could we start that over with the video of Chris Williamson in Song of the Soul?
Open mine eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Open mine eyes.
Yes.
Did we say the world exactly as it is at this moment? It's nice to know that so many of you knew those words. All right. Scott.
Yes, let's do impromptu.
How many of you do have something to write with and something to write on, and how many of you have been jotting and writing? Good. I'm going to go out and get some cards and some pencils so that those of you that don't will.
Thank you, Salima. If you need a card or a pencil, just raise your hand when she comes back and we'll come find you. My name is Scott Winters, and this is going to be the first poem in a start of a series of favorite poems that we're going to be reading for you this morning on gratitude and generosity. And, you know, we all love Mary Oliver. And so I thought, you know, I'm going to look up a poem by Mary Oliver on gratitude. And I found this lovely poem that I'd like to read for you. And I invite you to let the words wash over you. What did you notice? The dew snail. The low-flying sparrow, the bat on the wind in the dark, big-chested geese in the V of sleekest performance, the soft toad patient in the hot sand, the sweet, hungry ants, the uproar of mice in the empty house, the tin music of the cricket's body, the blouse of the goldenrod. What did you hear? The thrush greeting the morning. The little bluebirds in their hot box. The salty talk of the wren. Then the deep cup of the hour of silence. When did you admire? The oaks, letting down their dark and hairy fruit. The carrot rising in its elongated waist, the onion, sheet after sheet, curved inward to the pale green wand, at the end of summer the brassy dust, the almost liquid beauty of the flowers, then the ferns, scrawned black by the frost. What astonished you? The swallows making their dip and turn over the water. What would you like to see again? My dog. Her energy and exuberance, her willingness, her language beyond all nimbleness of tongue, her recklessness, her loyalty, her sweetness, her strong legs, her curled black lip. her snap. What was most tender? Queen Anne's lace with its parsnip root, the everlasting of its bonnets of wool, the kinks and turns of the Tupalo's body, the tall blank banks of sand, the clam clamped down. What was the most wonderful? The sea and its wide shoulders, the sea and its triangles, the sea lying back on its long athlete's spine. What did you think was happening? The green beast of the hummingbird, the eye of the pond, the wet face of the lily, the bright puckered knee of the broken oak, the red tulip of the fox's mouth, the upswing, the downpour, the frayed sleeve of the first snow. So the gods shake us from our sleep.
I'm reading a poem by E.E. Cummings, which was a favorite of mine when I was in college. He plays with words, and he uses the word God. I thank you, God, for most this amazing day, for the leaping, greenly spirits of trees and a blue, true dream of sky, and for everything which is natural, which is infinite, which is yes. I who have died am alive again today, and this is the sun's birthday. This is the birthday of life and of love and wings and of the gay, great happening, illimitably earth. How should tasting, touching, hearing, seeing, breathing, any lifted from the know of all nothing, human merely being, doubt unimaginable you. Now the ears of my eyes awake, and now the eyes of my eyes are opened.
The poem I have to share with you is called Traces by our own Cleone Hawkinson from January 20th, 2017. What traces of our lives are fair to leave behind? Our memories triggered by old letters or a picture? But if no one remembers or even knew who is in this picture, what a burden it is for them to simply toss it, not knowing. Traces of a life, what matters? What to keep, what to toss? When the last person who remembers us dies, then we are finally gone. But what of the things we left behind? What do they do with the stuff? Should we create anything at all to leave behind to burden others? Their Swiss cheese memories of us is enough, surely. Should we envy the victims of a hurricane when all is lost? Every single thing they own. They start fresh with only their memories and do not burden the future with the stuff of their lives long past. Why do we want the future to know more about us? Why do we write of things to tell about before they came? Are we trying to reassure ourselves that our lives mattered? Or explain how our lives mattered? Or what to learn from our lives? Why do we bother with capturing our past? Won't others have enough to think about just living their own lives. I'm doing it simply for myself. I try to make sense of all I have done, to simply realize who I was when I was doing it, to figure out now who I am now and if it was all worth it.
This is a poem that I wrote called Autumn is Within Us, and it has a lot of little vignettes. And if you might want to close your eyes and just imagine these things. Autumn is within us. The world sparkles, renewed by the drizzle, the showers, and the downpour, washing away the dust of summer. A yellow-crested bird with a brown face balances itself on the head of a spent black-eyed Susan, munching on the seeds. The trees are on fire. Embers float down to the grass, creating a mosaic of color. Shuffling through, upsetting the creation, bringing a satisfying crunch to my ears. Or is it the wind creating that sound? The whole, blending and unique, one and many sounds, colors, repeat and merge. Autumn is upon us. The tasks of fall arrive. I fill the feeders with bird seed, the suet in their holders, juice for the hummingbirds. And the birds respond in gratitude. The leaves cover the cracks. The squirrels' nests are revealed high in the trees. There is a wind and rain, and so I sweep the leaves again. The veggie garden has turned overnight limp and slimy from the frost. Its fruitfulness all but forgotten. The green tomatoes ripen in the garage and the fruit flies feast. The darkness descends in the afternoon. Candles and decorations dispel the gloom. Trick or treat, and the sighs of great fullness float through the air. Autumn is within us.
And this is a poem I wrote some 20 years ago. I could have written it last week. It's called Seasonal Inventory. 3 days of rain and summer's garden, having danced across the full calendar page, begins to drag its muddy feet. What's left of the sunflowers bow their heavy heads as if in prayer, a hard freeze predicted for the weekend. Leaves just last week, lush on elegant vines, curl inward, yellowing, turning brittle, letting go into the wind. All last night it rained, cold and hard. What can the weatherman tell me that I don't already know? I witness updates of natural disasters and humanity's failings dominate the morning news screen, flinging images of hungry children with vacant eyes and bloated bellies, the latest count of deaths from the virus, earthquakes, drought, fires, famine, and war. Always war. I turn off the TV and go out to pick the lavender and baby's breath, hanging them gently upside down to dry next to the goldenrod. I can almost feel their assurance of transformation. Finally, gathering the green tomatoes and snipping the last of the basil, I remind myself, take a breath, ignore the news, plant the bulbs.
My name's Yvonne Lyles. I'm reading Last Night as I Lay Sleeping by Antonio Machado, a Spanish poet, and I'm going to slip in one of the original Spanish phrases because we need it. Last night as I was sleeping, I dreamt, marvelous error, bendita ilusión, that a spring was breaking out in my heart. I said, along which secret aqueduct, O water, are you coming to me? Water of a new life that I never drunk. Last night, as I was sleeping, I dreamt. Marvelous error, bendita ilusión, that I had a beehive here inside my heart. And the golden bees were making white combs and sweet honey from my old failures. Last night as I was sleeping, I dreamt, marvelous error, bendita ilusión, that a fiery sun was giving light inside my heart. It was fiery because I felt warmth as from a hearth, and sun because it gave light and brought tears to my eyes. Last night as I slept, I dreamt, marvelous error, bendita ilusión, that it was God I had inside my heart.
This poem after many visitations to the Elk Rock Garden. If you're not familiar with it, there's a wonderful story in the Oregonian newspaper today about it. The Forgotten Garden. The dark rock walls, so old, hold many stories of another time. Tiny white flowers shine light into the cracks that is their home. Brick and moss hold each other softly to guide footsteps to a quiet place. Small hedges, long overgrown, stand in line with no place to go. A small wooden bench sits patiently, waiting for the company of lovers, but none are near. Swollen bark bears the wounds of many who carved their young love here long ago. Rain gently washes an old maple above. Leaves turn and twist and fall. Below, one last rose petal holds on for one more day of sun. A songbird prays a litany of this day. A tarnished wind chime answers. It rings on and on. And I wonder if anyone else is listening.
The Only Way I Know to Love the World by Julia Fehrenbacher. It is not just a cup of coffee, but the hum of hello. an invitation to wake, to sip, to say thank you for another chance to dance with another new day. It is not just a ceramic mug, but the one she shaped with her own 16-year-old hands for me. For me. It is not just a heart held open to another, or a kiss blown in the mirror, not just the soft circle of smile, but a nod of, I see you, you are not alone. Not just life, but your life, your very temporary life. It isn't just the earth you stand on, but the giver of every single thing, a reason to get down on humbled human knees and say, thank you, thank you, thank you. It is not just another moment, but a door flung open, clouded with light entrance to every real thing. Not just a poem, but a prayer whispered from our listening ear to another. The only way I know to love the world.
Thank you for bringing it down for me. Thank you. She knows it has to come down. For us short people. This is a poem I wrote 15 years ago. This is a poem I wrote 15 years ago called Gratitude. Every morning I give thanks for my mattress pad, the greatest invention in comfort since sleep itself. I am also grateful for its flannel cover, wispy soft, like baby velvet or the merest kiss, not to mention my pillowcase with its eyelet border, and the other pillowcase, apple green gingham. My falling apart quilt, snowy white, with vintage fabric hexagons, dots, flowers, and squiggles from yesteryear in still luminous colors. I've mended it countless times, feeling as sweetly old-fashioned as that word mend suggests. Putting on my glasses. I had cataract surgery 5 days ago. I love my quilt, radiant on my bed, next to the black plant stand, wrought iron curlicues and crowned with my Boston fern with its effusion of fronds, a green celebration making obeisance to the sunshine. Obeisance to the sunshine, filtering through the tall window, the mini blind, and the sweep of sheer curtain. And lastly, I would like to proclaim my gratitude for the soft maroon blanket, which, though I associate that color with things stiflingly Victorian, does have my name inscribed in royal blue script, in case I forget it while sleeping, and was sent to me as a birthday present by a friend who is no longer willing to be one since she told me about her husband's shocking tendencies. It still keeps me warm. Talk about gratitude. That's before I even get out of bed.
Thank you. Name of my poem is Wado's Potatoes. And I have to tell you the story of the name before I can read the poem. My name is Wade. But my dad, when I was yay high, called me Wado Potato. I hated it. I hated it for years. Then I went away to college, and I thought I was rid of it. Shortly after I graduated from college, I met the woman who I've been married to for the last 37 years, delightfully so. And you won't believe what she started calling me. She called me Wado, and it shocked me at first. But she said it with such affection that I came to appreciate it. Remarkably, within the next year or so, three other people who she did not know began to call me Wado. What's a fella to do? Unfortunately, the story doesn't end there. About 4 or 5 years after these that series of events, I received a letter from my alumni association addressed to Dear Wado. Okay, that's where I am now. People call me Wado. But today, I love it. Wado's Potatoes. I wrote this just a few days ago after Salima solicited a request for some poems to be read. Wado's Potatoes. Start 2 days before. Imagine fresh leftovers. Cardamom. Mortar and pestle are essential. McCormick's will not do. Fresh pods, two at a time. Little black aroma seeds into the mortar, crushed by the loving power of the pestle. Pound out more than you need. It's hard to have too much. Ginger. Peel the skin and grate very fine. The juice is key, but chunks are little surprises. Toss any long, stringy pulp. Yams, sweet potatoes. I never did learn the difference, but I like the orange color. Peel, slice thin, 1/8 inch is fine. Butter, leave in the refrigerator. Easier to slice thin when cold. Slice thinner than a pat. Brown sugar. Just a bit. This is not candied yams. Casserole dish or bread pan. Layer yam slices. A couple slices of butter. Sprinkle of cardamom, brown sugar, ginger. Ah, love the ginger. Another layer of yams. More cardamom, ginger, brown sugar, butter. Another layer again. About half a cup of water before final coloring of butter, cardamom, brown sugar, ginger. 375 for 45. Eat. Or, better to wait a couple days. Oven warm on day of serving.
Did I hear a yum out there? Yeah. Now that you're all hungry. So we come to the end of our series of readings, and I'd like to close with a poem by the late William Stafford. It looks like we're going to run out of time, but maybe we can hang in here for a few more minutes. This is called You Reading This Be Ready. Starting here, what do you want to remember? How sunlight creeps along a shining floor? What scent of old wood hovers? What softened sound from outside fills the air? Will you ever bring a better gift for the world than the breathing respect that you carry wherever you go right now? Are you waiting for time to show you some better thoughts? When you turn around, starting here, lift this new glimpse that you found. Carry into evening all that you want from this day. This interval you spent reading or hearing this, keep it for life. What can anyone give you greater than now? Starting right here, in this room, when you turn around. Thank you, Betsy, and thank you all who participated this morning. We had a lot of moving parts, and we did a good job. So, a collective poem is comprised of lines from other poems. I'm betting that we have a lot of lines written down by all of you this morning. And let's just take a couple of minutes to put them together. If you have a line that is really that really impressed you, you're going to speak it out, and then someone else will be inspired by that to speak out another line, and someone else will be inspired to speak out another line. And pretty soon we'll have a poem. So what I'd ask you to do at after service is, if you will, send to me the lines that you were most impressed by, that you would like to see in our community poem. And I will put them together and we'll get them all out there for everybody to see. Okay? Understood? Okay, who has a line? Let's see what we can do here. Who has a line to start?
I do.
Okay.
I am alive again today. Trying to understand my daughter's grief.
For a time I rest in the grace of the world and am free. Take a breath, ignore the news, plant the bulbs.
Finish every day and be done with it.
Whose heart will beat inside you?
This is paraphrased. Trees on fire, leaves fall as embers.
Then you hold life like a face between your palms.
Gratitude before I even get out of bed.
Nimbleness of tongue. Learn the language of the children.
Keep your heart open to us. Rest quietly. Wait.
This is the birthday of life and love and wings.
Mine was look beyond the clouds to the clearing at something bigger than yourself.
I dreamed I had a beehive inside my heart, Benedita Lucion.
The eyes of my eyes are opened.
As we soar along the Milky Way, if your soul desires, love will always guide you and hold you in the night. The great archer points away and then another.
The places where water comes together with other water, those places stand out in my mind like holy places.
Dance with the day.
Tomorrow is a new day. Don't waste a moment on the yesterdays.
Ignore the news. Plant the bulbs.
The golden bees were making white honeycombs and golden honey from my errors.
What astonished you?
Well, so please do send me those lines. We will get them reassembled into a cento poem that is woof. So Ashley's going to extinguish our chalice. The flame goes out, but not the flame in our hearts. We carry that with us wherever we go. And because we're shaking things up this morning, let's all stand, form circles, and sing ourselves out with "Let there be peace on earth." And let it begin with me.